Welcome back to Comics Brews 0.5 Initiative, our regularly irregular interview series. And it's just me again, folks. You got to listen to me. But today, you know, you're in luck because it's not just me on this end. I've got, you know, across from me on the Skype call is Mr. Vince Dorse, or is it Dorsey?
It's Dorse.
Okay, cool. I should have asked that first. You see the level of professionalism here, folks, is it's just through the roof. But yeah, Vince Dorse is here to talk to us today about his Kickstarter for his book, Untold Tales of Bigfoot, Book 1, Crossing Paths. We kind of have a theme going in the last couple of 0.5 initiatives. It's all ages comics. And so first of all, sir, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me on.
And I thought like we'd get to know you a little bit. Where do you hail from?
I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania right now.
Okay. So it's your fault that it's your fault we lost the Super Bowl that a little while ago, or I guess it'd be 6 years.
I don't know if it's entirely my fault, but yeah.
well, we're going to throw the blame your way. It's just going to happen. I'm sorry. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started in drawing in general, and then how that led to Untold Tales of Bigfoot?
Drawing in general, I've been doing my whole life. And I still do it as it's my job. I'm an illustrator and a cartoonist. And with the comic, I had so many friends, illustrator friends, that had been working on comics either as like a paid gig or a personal project. And it just looked like so much fun that I just really wanted to try it.
Right on. And why did you go all ages with your comic?
I don't know. I think, you know what, I'm really drawn to all ages stuff. And it's not just, it doesn't mean like just for kids.
No, I understand that completely. Yeah, Batman is all ages, I mean,
yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I don't know, especially for the story I wanted to tell. It certainly didn't need any swearing or nudity or gore.
Sure.
So, you know, and you know what? I didn't really write it as an all ages. I wrote it as a story and people started calling it an all ages comic. And I guess I couldn't argue. So
nice.
I mean, it works. I think if you label something like that, people know what they're getting into. So, yeah, all ages. I'll accept that.
Well, why don't you enlighten us on what Untold Tales of Bigfoot is?
All right. It's real. At its most basic level, it's a fish out of water story. It's about Scout. He is a timid little house dog from the suburbs who gets lost and left behind on a camping trip, and he needs to find his way home. And along the way, he runs into a Bigfoot, what turns out to be a lonesome Bigfoot who has spent decades in the forest and just would love to have this dog stick around and be his friend. So therein lies the conflict. Scout needs to go home, and Bigfoot would like him to stay. And they team up to survive things like, you know, poachers and rugged terrain and all kinds of crazy stuff.
I saw preview images of a mountain lion attack.
There is a mountain lion attack at one point, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is an entirely online comic, is it not?
Yeah. Well, right now, it's in hiatus because we're running the Kickstarter. But yeah, I've done it. It started as an online comic in 2012.
And you've done that consecutively for like the last 4 years?
Yeah, there's been a short break while I got this book ready for print, but yeah, it'll continue. I'll want to do book two eventually, so yes.
Is what was the decision behind starting online and then, you know, finally now using Kickstarter to move to a collected edition?
Well, you know, making a comic online seemed like not an easy thing to do, but something I could handle, and I wanted to see if I could do it, if I could hit the deadlines. I wanted to see if I could find an audience. I wanted to see if I could finish a long form story, start to finish, and make it work. And once I started, it's just so much fun that I didn't want to stop. As far as going to print, we had a number of people early on, the readers, wanted to know if it was going to be in print. And I guess I had always had some sort of idea about getting it in print because I designed it to be in print. In fact, the print copy is going to be probably a more enjoyable experience than the page a week online, just because of the way I designed it. And yeah, I guess Kickstarter is really probably one of the best ways to make that happen.
Yeah, we've interviewed a couple different creators in the last month or two that have said, like, you know, instead of using it to like get like rich, it's more like a pre-order style of the graphic novel. And I had never thought about it that way, and it really does make sense. It's like pre-ordering a book before it releases. I wonder, there's a lot of this book that seems to take, like, that takes place in the woods and, you know, out of, like the dog loses his way on a camping trip. Yeah. Is that something that you grew up doing, a lot of camping trips with, like, your folks or where you were at?
You would think, but no. No. No, I grew up in New Jersey, and I barely ever left my street. But, I'm out here in Pennsylvania. I guess I'm in the house I'm in now. I'm surrounded by a lot of woods. And I don't know. It seemed natural to write a story about that.
Sure.
But no, if you're going to ask me about some sort of survival tips, you're out of luck.
You know how to catch a bus, I bet.
Probably.
Yeah. using the subject of Bigfoot, do you have, like, a lot of people who write fiction tend to draw from what they love. Do you have this affinity for Bigfoot as a character or, like, a myth?
I think that, I don't know, I grew up hearing a lot about Bigfoot. Everybody does, I think. Yeah. I think he's a pop culture icon in this country anyway.
Harry and the Hendersons, so, man. Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, you know, and I hadn't. It's weird. I hadn't seen Harry and the Hendersons when I started the comic, and I purposely waited until this first book was done to finally watch it. Because I just didn't want to have anything...
Like, oh, he stole that from Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to do that. But yeah, I actually... I ended up doing a picture, a doodle of Bigfoot for a friend of mine, and that's where this character came from. Because I looked at the image, and it spoke to me. He looked lovable. He looked like I could write a story about him. So that's why I chose him. He just looked just perfect for a comic story.
Now, as a creator of fiction, I'm sure you have your own, your own inspirations and your own draws. Like, who do you go to when you go to read something or to go enjoy something?
You know, when you start doing the comic that I've been doing, it's so time consuming. You barely have time to read anything current, you know, but I think that a lot of the stuff that informs Untold Tales of Bigfoot is stuff that I read when I was a kid.
Oh, sure.
Like all ages stuff, like the old Harvey comics and Gold Key, Disney, mm-hmm. You know, I used to read a lot of that stuff. And I think some of that probably informs the art in Untold Tales of Bigfoot. And I still kind of gravitate toward that stuff. But, you know, that said, I mean, I don't know if the comics that I'm reading now really, like right now I'm into Afterlife with Archie.
That's a great comic. We love that comic on the show.
It's just coming back from that hiatus.
Yeah.
I think the sister title Sabrina is supposed to start up again too.
Yep.
I love the storytelling. I love the art. A lot of that stuff is horror, though.
Yeah, a little too not all ages.
Yeah, it's not all ages. Same thing with, I don't know if you're reading Harrow County at all.
Yep.
Oh,
love that
great
comic.
Book.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So when you delve into your own little nerdisms and you know, away time, do you gravitate towards horror mostly?
You know what? I was thinking about it earlier, and I think I do in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm a Disney nut. I haven't read it yet, but I have 3 issues of that Haunted Mansion comic sitting on my shelf.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Yeah, waiting for me to get time to read it. But, yeah, I guess I do read a lot of horror. And I've done some short horror comics. They're somewhere online. I think they're fun. You know, I just like that. You know, they give you that nice thrill, that little zing up the spine. I like that stuff.
Yeah, right on. So... I'm such a wuss when it comes to horror films, especially the jump scare ones and the ghost ones, like, you know, The Ring or The Grudge or anything. The Conjuring, I'm never gonna see that movie.
Hey, somebody told me they're doing a movie where the ghost from The Ring battles the ghost from The Grudge.
Yeah, they're gonna do that. I don't remember what it's called, but that's in production. I think it's like the same
Fantastic.
Studio that did Sharknado. And those,
fantastic.
Those, like, really campy, we know we're not taking ourselves seriously movies. It's on the same line of Freddy versus Jason, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, I guess, you know, I remembered I actually saw Freddy versus Jason. And it just, you brought back all these memories. I haven't seen, I don't really go to the theater anymore to see the horror movies, but I rent them like crazy at home.
Right on. Yeah, I like I said, I can't really do a lot of horror, but there is some horror that I'm like, yeah. And it actually kind of makes sense because a little bit of the themes of the Bigfoot myth is kind of horror. I mean, there's a monster in the woods, normally can't be seen by anybody.
Yeah.
Giant.
That's what I liked about it. It's a nice springboard for the story.
Sure. So I'm looking at your Kickstarter right now, and let's see, by the time this releases next week, you'll have about 8 or 9 days left in your campaign, and you guys are almost at your goal now.
We're close. Yeah, I think right now, as of today, I think it's 83%. So that's pretty good, but it's still too far away from the goal for me to stop worrying about it.
Sure. I was just going to ask that is like, you know, you can tell you had momentum, but like, are you still like edge of your seat? Like, come on.
I am. And I don't know if everyone's like that or not. I would assume maybe, but I know that I personally am. You know, I'm the kind of person that, you know, when you start something, I like to get it finished as soon as possible. So watching this number tick up ever so slowly is just driving me nuts.
I do not doubt that. I think you and I are in the same boat, man. Like I start something, you finish it, and you move on to the next one. Like that's very much how I operate. So I can't even fathom taking the patience and the I don't know determination it needs to just sit there and like not cancel the project and move on. I mean that also would implies that my project wouldn't get backed, but you know, here or there. What are your I noticed that you kind of in your campaign you mention a stretch goal, but it's not really spelled out. And this is probably one of the first Kickstarter campaigns I've seen in a while that doesn't have an explicit like here's our stretch goal I don't know tier. So if you guys do make it, what is it?
Well, I think that what I would really love to do is have a fantastically more elaborate version of the book. You know, a nicer cover would be fantastic for the people reading it and for me to have that kind of product. But, you know, I was just so laser focused on getting the book funded that any sort of stretch goal is kind of pie in the sky for me. But, you know, getting close like this, I think I'm going to have to seriously consider it.
You've got a reward tier on here of someone like that you'll draw yourself into or you'll draw them into the comic. Have you you've had a couple backers do that? What have they suggested you do? Like, do they send you a picture of themselves?
Yeah, yeah. If it's at the $55 level, the naturalist, basically that's like a still shot of you drawn, you know, caricatured as you as if you were in the comic, standing there with Bigfoot and Scout. It's pretty much everyone gets the same shot in the woods. But yeah, later on in an upper tier, there's a crazy tier where you actually become a character in an ongoing comic short. So I don't think anyone's backed that yet. I haven't seen that. I haven't looked yet to see if anyone's backed that, but.
Well, here's hoping, right? is it particularly difficult to, when someone like, so you have a couple backers that have like pledged that and they get their caricature. Is caricaturing hard? Because at its core, of course it's hard. It's art. I'm sorry. but at its core, it's meant to be a somewhat of a parody. So, like, how do you do that and not, you know, offend somebody? I'm not saying that, like, yours is overly characteristic, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty safe there because, basically, they're being drawn in the style of the characters in Untold Tales of Bigfoot. So, it's not like a caricature where
it's like a huge head and, like,
yeah,
little
exactly.
body. Yeah,
exactly. They're more like comic book characters. But to answer your question, yeah, caricature is not by any stretch of the imagination easy for me, but it's something that I've come to learn to do as just part of my job. So I'm looking forward to that. I kind of like the challenge of getting the photo and just giving these people that experience.
Yeah, if I had that money, I'd back that level, but also I don't want to see myself drawn. It's one of the reasons why this is an audio interview only.
Yeah, it's probably the same reason I might not listen to this later, because I don't like to hear myself talk.
Oh, that's a bummer. We could use the listen.
Of course I'll listen.
And you can hear how I edited all of that awkwardness out. It's going to be great. We've got kind of a streak going on Comics Brew. Every Kickstarter or Indiegogo that we've interviewed has funded.
Oh, good.
Please don't be... No,
I don't want to sink your ship. I know.
Yeah.
All right.
But I am also... I think that works the other way. I can see you guys getting to your goal, especially because you guys... You have this rapport with a couple other interviewees that we've had on the show.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you're in Pennsylvania. How do you know Ryan and James, who are in my neck of the woods?
That is... simply through the magic of the internet. That's just, I met those guys on Twitter. When I first started posting the comic, those were a couple of the guys that that were doing webcomics and openly welcomed me to the webcomic community. And they've been great supporters since the beginning.
Now, you mentioned webcomic community, and it's kind of hard for me to fathom because, well, it shouldn't be because all of our stuff is on the internet too. But I come from a world of just knowing traditional comics, and those are very niche groups. What's it like with the web comics? Because you're literally all over the world. How does that community feel?
It's always felt very welcoming and very open and very generous to me, because I didn't know any of these guys. I think when I first started posting the Bigfoot comic, I think I had 3 followers on Twitter. I literally had 3 followers, and you know, I just started picking up on these guys' comics and reading them, and they would read mine, and you know, they've always been generous with their time, generous with their advice. I don't know. I have no complaints. Everyone is. I think it's one of those things where, I think I've said it before, a rising tide lifts all the boats.
Yeah, and I've heard other webcomic artists say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't know. It's kind of a thrill to support people doing the same thing and watching them succeed and feeling like you're a part of that. I don't know. I like it. I love it.
I also imagine like there's a thing that's missing from traditional comics, and it's you all own your own work, and that's probably something that's a really big point of pride. And yeah. I imagine seeing that in others makes you want to, you know, support them as well.
Yeah, because from your own work, your experience with your own stuff, you know how much of themselves they've thrown into that and how much passion they have for it. So when you see someone putting something on the web like that, you know they're really putting a part of themselves up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I heartily agree, sir. So you and James, you guys have made kind of – because you guys have concurrent Kickstarters going on right now.
Yeah.
You did this thing where you're like, if you back his project and yours, do you both get extra stuff?
Yeah, that was James' idea. He came to me with an idea that, you know, we had part of the thing that we had done being webcomic community friends. We had done fan art for each other of each other's characters, and he came up with this brilliant idea. That if you purchased a book from my Kickstarter and a book from his Kickstarter, you would then get a free print, 2 free prints of the fan art that we did for each other. I did one of his characters and he did a Bigfoot for me. So it was brilliant. I could not say no to that.
No, and I imagine the people that have, I mean, and like you said, you're only growing both of your own audiences. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ryan's always saying that, too. It's not a competition. And it never really feels like a competition. It really feels like everyone's helping everyone else.
Yeah. So what's on the horizon after this book funds? Because it will fund. I'm saying it now.
I hope it does. after this book, I have got a back-breaking amount of drawing to do to make sure all the rewards go out. Because I think almost every single tier... above the standard book level, I'm doing either sketching in the book or a caricature of you or a private commission of anybody you want. So there's going to be a lot of drawing for me. And eventually, when that is all done, I will have the freedom to begin book two, I suppose.
Now, is everything that's online, is that solely book one?
Well, book one online is 127 pages. Book one in the book is 140 pages, because in the time, in the short hiatus since I ended that first story arc, I went back in and, you know, I just kind of picked it apart and saw areas that could be beefed up a little, some scenes that could be expanded, some characters that could be expanded. So there's literally like 12 or 13 more pages in the book than people ever got online.
Okay, and so book two then will be launched, well, not launched, but will be started as soon as you're done fulfilling for book one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the meantime, I've done a few shorts, like 1- and 2-page shorts, and I'll probably keep doing that until I start the formal book two.
Can you give us any teases or sneak peeks for book two at all? Any small hints that our listeners might be like, ooh, look what we got.
All right. Well, you know, it's pretty vague, but I think book one, while I really thought I was doing a story about Bigfoot, it turned out really to be Scout's story. You know, it's really his story arc. And I had a lot of fun with that, but I really feel like book two needs to tell a little more about Bigfoot's story. I think it'll be more Bigfoot centric.
That would be the question I have. Like, when you first introduced the comic in this interview, you said it's a Bigfoot. Which makes me question, are there more?
Exactly. Well, in the first book, there is just the one monster lurking in the woods. But you may or may not find out in the course of that first book that at one point in Bigfoot's history, there may have been many, many more Bigfoots.
Yeah, so, I want to know how you tackle that pronoun, too, or that noun.
Yeah, you know, normally I go with Bigfoots. That seems like the proper plural.
Yeah, I think so too. But we'll see. We'll see what you finally ended up on, because as anyone who's ever created something knows, you can do it, but then you got to edit it.
Exactly.
And that's the hard part. So
yeah, and I'm still editing it, frankly, because I'm a constant tweak guy. I'm always tweaking this stuff. So
do you?
In fact, when I hit, I think just the other day we hit 80% on the Kickstarter, and I thought, you know what? I'm in a good mood. I'm going to add a page. So we actually went up from 139 pages to 140 just because I was in a good place.
Well, that's awesome, because it rounds out the number.
It's exactly. It's so much better for my OCD.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Are there any plans or things that you want to do with Bigfoot that you haven't had a chance to do yet that you might be considering doing in the second volume, other than, you know, branching out his story, like anything with physical comedy? Increasing his speech capability.
Yeah, his in book one, I know you've only seen a few of the pages, but in book one, you know, his he's a little laconic early on. He's nonverbal, but as the book goes along, his interaction with Scout, the dog, allows him to open up a bit more. So by the time you get to book two, you know, he'll be a little more verbal. But as far as experimenting with the character, you know, I actually have kind of thought about experimenting with the way I draw the book. Book one, I really wanted to make it look like those old comics, those kids' comics that I read when I was a kid. And so a lot of it's simple ink line and flat color. And I don't know, like in my time away from doing book one, I've been experimenting so much with different kinds of digital painting. I don't know. Maybe book one will look completely different than book two. Who knows?
That's what I was going to ask you, is what form do you, like, how do you create? What's your process? Do you do it entirely digital, or do you start with a rough sketch and then move it to digital?
Now, it's pretty standard, I think. I sketch on paper just because I like the way that feels. It's just more natural for me. And I scan it in, and then I ink it digitally and color it in Photoshop.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the way that the most popular webcomics are done anyway. Do you ever, I don't know, branch out into, like, when you're not working on this comic, do you ever paint? Do you ever, I don't know, do any other medium?
Yeah, actually all the time. Like I said, I'm a freelance illustrator in my real life. So, you know, I've moved mostly to digital for that too, but I still screw around with colored pencil and marker renderings. I don't paint for my job or really for pleasure at this point. It's just, I don't know. I think I've gotten used to the no fuss, no muss, no mess digital workflow. And, I mean, it's bad enough when I get the marker stains on my fingertips now. I don't think I could go back to acrylic paint all over my pants.
Yeah, I hear you there. Not that I'm in no way capable of doing the visual arts, but I used to write everything out longhand and then retype it. It took me years to break myself of that, so I can. But now that I do everything digitally, I'm not going back.
Yeah. So you just go straight into your computer now with whatever you're writing.
Yeah. That be, you know, a review or something up for the pay or for the web page or something like that. Well, we've taken up plenty of your time here. Can you give us a final like how to find Untold Tales of Bigfoot and what your Twitter is and all that stuff?
All right, Twitter at Vince Dorse. It's real simple. And Untold Tales of Bigfoot, it's got its own site, untoldtalesofbigfoot.com. Like I said, right now, most of the comic of book one is offline because we're running the Kickstarter. But you'll see some of the comics there. And if you want to see any of my other stuff, some of my illustrations are over at vincedorse.com. And people seem to like, I put up a process blog. It's a WordPress, vincedorse.wordpress.com, where I just experiment with, you know, whether I'm coloring something with markers or trying out a new software program. And I basically detail my steps and people seem to get a kick out of that.
Oh, you kidding? Tutorials. People eat those up.
I love them myself. That's how I learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I learned how to do any form of editing, even if it was, you know, just editing text.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, and then of course, Untold Tales of Bigfoot, easily searchable on the Kickstarter.
Yep, and like I said, by the time this episode releases, you'll have about 8 or 9 days out there for the folks to back you. So, you know, listeners, get out there and give this man your support. If he's a friend of the show, that means his stuff is definitely worth doing. So go give this man all of your support. Vince, thank you so much for sticking with us.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, and oh, please, if you decide to do anything else or if you just want to come back on to chat, anytime, you're welcome.
All right, I think I will. Thank you.
Have a good night, and thank you all for listening.